Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our Old Testament reading, Psalm 55, and we're going to be focusing on these words from verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. Well, we're continuing our series, You're So Emotional, looking at these emotions that are common to our human nature, and sometimes they can be a good thing, sometimes not so good. Last week, we went over what makes us angry and what we can do with our anger. And this week, as you have guessed, we're talking about fear. So I've asked the kids, what are you afraid of? What about you? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? And don't just sit there. Raise your hand. I'll call on you. What are you afraid of? Think about it. Go on. Be honest. Yeah. What? Afraid of pain. All right. Yes. Yes. Financials. Okay. Finances. Yeah. Afraid of that. Yeah. Snakes and spiders. All right. Yeah. How many of you are afraid of snakes and spiders? Yeah, I know. Now, I notice that what people are afraid of, someone else might not be afraid of that, right? You can be afraid of, one thing, but someone might be afraid more so of another thing, right? And nowhere did I see this on full display. God, I hate to admit this. On that wonderful television show, Fear Factor. Does anyone remember this show? Did everyone see that they actually revived it last year? Wow. If you're unfamiliar with the show, it's actually a game show where contestants compete for a grand prize of $50,000. That's not a small sum of money there. But you have to go through these fear challenges. You have to face your fears, and if you get on to the next level, then, good for you. You win the money. And there are three rounds, and the second round was always the physical kind of challenge. And I don't know. There was some stunts there that, forget it, I wouldn't do for $10 billion in the world. People would be required to lie in the dark in a glass coffin, and then they'd put the little goggles on your eyes, and then they'd say, all right, here's some snakes for you. And they would dump a whole bunch of snakes on them. Garter snakes, cute little garter snakes, Oh, forget it. Or they dump the tarantulas that we saw. They'd put tarantulas. Now, tarantulas, they're not deadly at all. They just look bad, but it's no worse than a bee sting. But what was interesting about this was when people found out what this stunt was, some people were like, okay, cool, no problem. Others freaked out before it even began. And when it actually happened, because, they wanted to get the money, I have never seen such spasms before in my life. People just thrashing around, hitting the panic button, get me out of here, and they didn't win the money. So, whether it's snakes, spiders, could be heights, could be public speaking. That's the number one fear out there. Could be many things. Fear. We are all afraid of something. It's common to us all. And yes, some of us are more afraid of some things than another. But why? Why are we actually afraid at all? Well, it's because these things, whether real or perceived, they threaten us. They disturb our security. They kind of wreck whatever comfortable life we are seeking. These things can hurt us, harm us, inflict pain, inflict suffering. That's why so many people are afraid of spiders or snakes, because, hey, they got fangs. They have venom. And some of them, are poisonous. And if you don't get medical attention, you can get real sick and possibly even die. And people are afraid of heights because you can fall. And if you're way up high, like on the sky deck, you can fall really fast, really far, and you know what can happen then. And I mentioned public speaking. You know, people are really afraid of public speaking. And I'm not talking about you being afraid of me doing the public speaking. Maybe. No, it's people are afraid of that because people might laugh at you. They might roll their eyes, or worse, they might start looking at their phones, they might start wandering, and then later say, no, that was no good. And that can actually ruin your reputation there. You see that this threat that things have over us, it can apply to so many things in life. You feel threatened by a person threatening you with physical harm or threatening you with emotional harm. You know, you're walking on eggshells. You don't want to say or do anything because if you do, they're going to let you have it. Or do you feel threatened by a situation you're in? Your job. Maybe it's a relationship. You know, maybe it's financial situation. Maybe it's illness. Maybe it's a surgery that's coming up. Yeah, and you're afraid because you're going to lose something. You're going to lose love. You're going to lose security. You're going to lose possibly even your very life. These things threaten us. And maybe, for some of us, do you feel threatened by God himself? Yeah, God, who sees everything, who knows everything. You can't hide a thing from him. Oh, and you just heard the sound of him walking in the garden after you have disobeyed him. You know, when you're afraid like this, it can paralyze you. It can run your life. And it can ruin your life all the same. And so when you're afraid like this, you know, sometimes you don't know what to do. What do you do when suddenly you're afraid of something that's threatening you and you're just standing there? What do you do when fear overcomes you? What did David do when fear paralyzed him? You know what? I invite you to pick up a pew Bible there. Page 564 is where it is. Or, if you want to follow the translation I have, the ESV translation, you can look it up on your phone, on your Bible app. Psalm 55 is what we're looking at here. Because, you know, David, King David, I mean, even though he was a man after God's own heart, you know, he was a gentle shepherd, and he was a mighty king, ruler over Israel. When you get to Psalm 55 here, this psalm shows David scared to death. Verses 4 and 5. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. Why? Why was he so scared? Verse 3. Because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. David was being threatened here. But in more ways than one. That wasn't all that was going on here. Verse 12. For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house, we walked in the throng. David probably wrote this psalm about his son Absalom, who rebelled against his father and sought to take over David's throne and David's kingdom. But he also wrote about a man named Ahithophel. That was David's closest advisor, his most trusted friend, who betrayed David, went over to Absalom's side, and both of them sought to take David's life. That's the threat that he was scared of. I mean, his throne was threatened, his kingdom was threatened, his very life was threatened. So David was terrified, paralyzed. And he could have responded any number of ways. If you look at verses 6 through 8, it actually talks about David, the possibility of him fleeing. You know? Oh, that I had the wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I'd wander far away, lodge in the wilderness. I'd hurry and find shelter from all that's raging around here. He could flee. David could literally get out of town. But then, he would still be afraid. He would still wonder, are they going to find me? Are they going to find me and do me in? He would still be afraid if he fled. So maybe David could fight. Look at verse 18, right at the end there. He says, from the battle that I waged, for many are arrayed against me. David was in a battle here for his reputation, for his life. Oh boy. He was just like, I could fight these guys and I could overcome them. What if he couldn't? And what if, even if he overcame them, he was afraid again? What if other things popped up, one threat replacing another? So he couldn't flee, and he couldn't really fight them. So what did a man after God's own heart do? He fell on his knees and prayed to God. Verse 16. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Yeah, David was afraid, but he prayed to God, trusting in his salvation. Evening and morning and at noon I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. Yeah, even though his enemies threatened David at all hours of the day, he prayed to God, trusting that God would hear him, everything. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage. Yeah. David was overwhelmed by his fear, but he prayed to God, trusting that he was already secure, redeemed by the Lord. It's a powerful psalm of fear. And it's this psalm that can help shape the fears that you and I fear. When we are threatened by so many things, well, guess what? We are secure through the salvation and the redemption of Jesus Christ. Therefore, you and I have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Really, Pastor? Really? Nothing to fear? Well, I'll tell you what. You don't have anything to fear because of those two words, salvation and redemption, that the psalm mentions. Both of these words indicate movement. Let me explain here. Salvation, when you are saved, that means you are plucked out of a dangerous situation. You are rescued from the things that have threatened you. You're moved from a place of danger to a place of security. That's what salvation means. And that redemption means to buy back, to exchange one thing for another, to move from one hand to another. And that's what Jesus does for you and for me. Through his death and resurrection, through giving you his salvation, when you are baptized and through redeeming and buying you back through His blood that He shed on the cross, you have been moved from what threatens you. Yeah, you have been transferred from one area, a dangerous situation where you are in the sinful fallen world, and you have been moved to another area. You have been bought back and brought here. Okay? And you know what's here? Safety, security, eternal life. Nothing can touch you. In Jesus Christ, you are 100% secure. Nothing can harm you. You don't have to be afraid of anything, no matter how much you fear those that threaten you, no matter how many enemies are arrayed against you, no matter how much trouble they drop on you. So what do you do when you're afraid? Well, you do what a little girl did when she was being observed by her grandfather. It was recorded in a book by Dr. Donald Defner called Devotions for the Chronologically Challenged. Yeah, that's the actual title. In which he tells about a time that his granddaughter was visiting their home, and he observed her. She didn't realize that he was observing her, and she was standing at the top of the staircase to the basement, and it was completely dark. And she was frozen, just looking down there. And then he was stunned by what she said next. She said, "Oh, Jesus, it's awfully dark down there. You better take my hand." That's what you do when you're afraid. When you were afraid, just like David, you fall. You fall on your knees in prayer, and you cast your burdens upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will sustain you. Let's face it, He's not always going to remove you out of this threatening situation. It's just the way it is. But He will sustain you when these things threaten you and make you afraid. Fear doesn't have to paralyze you. It doesn't have to run or ruin your life, because when Jesus dies and rises again, when he makes you His own, when He assures you that nothing can harm you, not snakes, not spiders, not heights, not a bad relationship, not finances, not illness, and not even death itself can harm you. That's when you can stare that dark staircase right in the face, and you can pray, "Jesus, you better take my hand." And He will. And He will lean down and whisper into His child's ear and say, "Take heart. It's me. Don't be afraid." Amen.